You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, and Volunteer Vodka.
Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, intern Bryce, the gang's all here. The next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. How are we today? Two thumbs up around the room. Cody McClure?
Doing fine, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Monday edition, talk sports. Nice day. I just got here into town.
Oh, you just got back, like, right now?
Yeah. I just timed it out perfectly. I woke up at 7:15 a.m. Central Time, and that was enough time to get a shower in, get a nice little continental breakfast at the Hampton Inn, and make my way back over to Knoxville. I got to say, the continental at the Hampton Inn is pretty good. You know, they've been running the commercials with Reese Davis, showing their newly renovated continental breakfast, and I thought, all you know, during football season, I'm like, why are they advertising their continental breakfast? This is dumb. Nobody cares about this. Reese Davis, really? Hampton Inn continental breakfast? Like, he's not getting a catered breakfast or a, you know, going to some nice place to eat breakfast. And I gotta say, it was pretty good. They have steak and eggs, pretty good. They're like scrambled, like peppers and onions, and they're fresh. It's not like the powdered eggs, you know. Turkey sausage, the waffle maker's pretty cool. I mean, it's a
good. What would you have done if you ran into like a little traffic? Because you timed this out pretty perfect. What would you done if you ran into traffic?
I would be late. Yeah, I would have been late.
Okay. Well, so thank God there wasn't any traffic then.
I mean, I woke up at 7:15 a.m. That's about as good as I could do.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys were staying in Nashville. How was your concert? Was it fun? Was it worth the price of admission? Is rock and roll still alive?
Well, so it was at the Municipal Auditorium. We got there.
That doesn't sound like a rock and roll type of place. The Municipal Auditorium kind of feels like I wouldn't go to a concert at the Municipal Auditorium, especially a rock and roll concert.
Oh, okay. Well, so we pulled up, and you know, I was looking for the parking garage, trying to find good parking around there. Found us a nice parking garage. Plenty of spaces. Parking garage was nearly empty. There were just a few cars in there. And so we pull in, and, you know, I was about to go up to the pay machine to pay it, and it was $20 to park at this place, mind you. And we get up there, and there's a group of women standing there, and I'm about to slide my credit card in there, and they say, you guys aren't going to that concert, are you? Like, yeah. I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And they're like, ah, they canceled. So I said, yeah, you're kidding, right? You know, I assume the lady's pulling my leg, trying to pull wool over my eyes. I was like, I've seen this rodeo a few times before, man.
Sure.
You're not going to pull one over on me. You're not going to trick me. And she's like, no, fatty. They canceled it. I was like, well, first of all, you don't have to talk about my weight just because I don't believe you. And I was like, are you serious? So she pulls out this article on her phone. It was the USA Today platform. I guess it was the Tennessean or something. You know, they're all the same. And she shows me, show's canceled. And then I look up their Twitter account, and sure enough, 5 hours before the show, they released a statement that they were canceling the show. So
drove all the way to Nashville to see a band, and they canceled on you.
Drove to Nashville, yes, from Knoxville.
But you still stayed in Nashville, so I guess you couldn't get a refund on your hotel at that point, and well, figured might as well.
Yeah, so we decided to just make the best of it. I mean, Brandon Brandon's mom hooked us up on a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
She does something where she gets, you know, some points. People get like these points. They get these discounted hotel rooms.
Sure.
So it was like a cheap hotel, nice Hampton Inn, and we couldn't get the refund. So we thought, well, might as well just make the best of it. So went out to a couple of bars, saw a dear friend of mine.
Okay. So rock and roll's dead, huh?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like if a band cancels a show for anything less than like open heart surgery, like the Stones had to do, whatever the hell happened to Mick before his show, I feel like that's a pretty unacceptable thing in the rock and roll landscape.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't
want to say I was judging you for going to see somebody named Greta Van Fleet or whatever the hell it
was. Just because you don't know them doesn't mean they're not a good band.
Well, I mean, I feel like them canceling the show kind of proves that hypothesis. I mean, you're getting ready to say the same thing that...
Well, I got to say, I mean, for, you know, I couldn't help but think about if it was 1972, I can't imagine some band back then just not going on stage. They went on the stage on Heroin back then.
Right, so I mean, like, it's not me.
Where are all the heroes?
It's not me not knowing who they are. It's them canceling a
Well, they're a good
concert.
Band. They're a good band. So I was reading into it.
You can't do rock and roll music and be soft.
Maybe kids these days, maybe they are soft. They're all in their young, they're all in their 20s. I mean, they're, you know.
I would just have been all over the refund if I were you. I wouldn't want to drive back to see a band that was too sick to play.
Well, I was going to say, at first,
their tummy hurt, so they canceled their tour.
I was going to say, at first, I was very disappointed. Rock and roll. I was disappointed. I had lost some respect for them, but then I got to reading up on it, and it turns out I think they just have really poor management. I think their management, like, runs them into the ground, and they don't get time to rest, basically. They play, like, every night, and the singer... I guess he got sick or something. You know, weather change. I mean,
I feel like Nashville's one of those cities that you're supposed to fight through, though. Like, cancel Topeka.
Look, the Rolling Stones would. But, you know, I mean, this ain't the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
So, they are a good band, though. I just, you know, and we were excited to see them. And they had another.
By the way, like, I don't know if I believe your hypothesis, because October 15th, October 16th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, I guess they're going overseas, so never mind. I was going to say, then they don't do another show until November 3rd, but this is, I guess, in the UK, so never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like they're taking a pretty good time off to recover, but...
I don't know.
Yeah, they're going over to the UK.
I mean, you know, it just... That's poor management, though, to cancel a show the day of. Because I couldn't help but think, like, I felt like an idiot. We were over there. I felt stupid that we were there, and the band's not even playing. Like, we should have checked it out or something, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just, I mean, who would have checked same day to see, like, well, let's make sure they're still playing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't help but think about the people that had drove there from other places. Or, you know, like the people that didn't have Twitter and didn't have anybody to help them and went up and paid the machine and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce was saying he's from Michigan. They're from Michigan.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people drove down 75 just to go spend the weekend in Nashville and watch them there. It probably was a
probably
pretty good amount.
I saw one person on the internet said they came down from Toronto.
Yeah.
Which seemed a little excessive. It's more on them, I think, if you're going to drive all the way from Toronto to Nashville.
We talk about Nashville being a city that people want to go to. So, I mean,
yeah.
If you're in Toronto, like, hey, I've always wanted to go to Toronto, or I've always wanted to go to Nashville. I love Greta Van Fleet. Only Van Fleet I acknowledge is Fred, but either way.
It's Van Vliet, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've always called him Van Fleet, so he's still going to be Van Fleet. Well, anyways, yeah. I'm sorry your concert didn't work out.
Well, we made the best of it. As I said, I saw a dear friend, had a nice continental breakfast, hit a couple of bars. It was all right.
I'm happy for you.
Although I did pay $5.50 for a 12-ounce can of Miller Lite. So that was a little ridiculous. And it wasn't even on Broadway. It was off Broadway, 2nd Avenue.
You guys
$5.50.
You guys had exciting weekends. You did that. Cam went down to Baton Rouge to watch Florida LSU. Intern Bryce was inside Neyland Stadium. We'll get recaps of the rest of their weekends at some point during the show.
Did you have a big weekend?
Nah. I see a little voluntary action, man.
To go down to Chattanooga?
Watch some TV. I made a little day trip to see the baby yesterday. Just there for an hour. Drove longer than I was there. And
did it like you?
It just slept the whole time. It's the thing about babies. They sleep.
You saw it, though.
She didn't see me. She kind of opened her eyes for a second when I was holding her and just like.
Is that a grown baby?
Yeah, kind of just peeked at me and then just immediately closed her eyes back. It's like, maybe if I close my eyes, he will leave.
He looks like me, except older and taller.
Yeah.
So did you talk to it, you know?
I said, hey.
Hey, baby.
Hello, little baby.
How are you?
Oh, you're so cute, little baby.
Pinch the cheeks.
No. Rub the hair. Big head of silky Indian hair.
I wonder how that happens. How do babies come out with hair like that?
I don't know.
I've always wondered about that.
I don't know.
So it's a good baby?
It didn't bother me.
Did it cry any?
Not while I was there.
That's good.
It didn't do anything except sleep.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Swung back up, ate lunch with my dad on the way back up to Knoxville, came home, and watched the Titans. So no, my weekend wasn't very good. I guess one team in Tennessee won, though. We'll talk about them next. We'll talk some Tennessee football. Pruitt's addressing the media now. We'll see if he says anything interesting. We'll get off and roll and talk sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric. We'll be back on the other side. Back on the program, you want to start with Tennessee beating Mississippi State, getting a win? We don't have very many positive things to say usually on these football Mondays, but Tennessee did take care of business, beat Mississippi State. We put it as an 8.5, or at least I did, on the must-win scale, and they won.
Yeah, it's a nice positive Monday for once.
How about that?
It doesn't happen often. Out of the 6 times this year, it's only happened once until now. But, hey, that's a good win. Solid. Good finish. Good performance. Great. Glad we're done with it.
I hate that. I don't want to make this, but, like, the happiness of the Mississippi State games almost got washed away by watching 3 hours of the Titans not be able to score. Like, I wish they both could have won. That way I could be really happy. I'm still happy for the Vols, obviously. Like, that was a big game for this program. I really think it was. Like, it showed some flashes. You had an aggressive defensive line. You had, 7 sacks? Is that what Tennessee ended up with? 7 sacks?
I know they had 6, but I don't know about the last one. They had at least 6.
There was another one at the end of the game where it looked like there was a sack. Maybe he was considered a quarterback draw. I don't know. I'm going to call it 7 sacks. 7 sacks, 10 tackles for a loss. Like, that defense looked like I think Jeremy Pruitt wanted it to look, right? Like,
yeah.
Now he got helped by Mississippi State's quarterback play not being very good at all, right? Just being downright bad. He got helped by that, but.
That guy with that gross beard.
Tommy Stevens?
I thought it was the other one.
Tommy Stevens was awful in the first half. The second guy came in and was not as bad. Still wasn't good. You know, that's something I saw with Mississippi State all year. I remember watching their game against Kansas State. I was like, man, these guys stink. Like, that's why I wasn't willing to write this game off or say that Tennessee can't win this game.
Right. Yeah, those quarterbacks are no good. But still, to shut down the running game, and even without Mississippi State, they didn't have any quarterbacks to help. But we shut down that running game. Kylan Hill, he was rushing. He had 119 yards per game coming in. He was the SEC leader
right in
rushing. And against Tennessee, he had 13 rushing yards.
11 carries for 13 yards.
That's his lowest output since 2017 against Alabama.
Tennessee did a lot of good things in this game, defensively especially. Offensively, I thought they did what they had to do. It wasn't pretty by any means, especially after, you know, Brian Maurer made some plays but also made some freshman mistakes, throwing a couple of bad passes. On the first interception, I thought he got fooled. I thought he didn't actually read the defense. He just threw a timing route, and the second defender didn't chase the short receiver. He just stayed back in the end zone and made an easy pick. And the second interception, he was maybe concussed. But otherwise, you know, I thought he helped open up the pass game. And you know, then whenever he went out, Garantano did a good job of handing the ball off and hit a couple passes when he had to. Like, the bomb on the sideline to Keaton was a nice throw. It's a really, really good throw. Keaton made a really nice play. And then on the touchdown to Tyler Byrd, that was a a really, really good schematic play from Jim Chaney. You get a short completion to a receiver that has some good speed, and you have your other two wide receivers on that side peeling back to block and seal the edge, and Bird's able to take it for a touchdown. That was an awesome play. Garantano made that throw. Wasn't complicated, but it was what you have to do when you are the better team trying to win. And I really do think on Saturday, especially, Tennessee was the better team. Like, I don't have a problem with Jeremy Pruitt's conservative game calling at the end of the first half where he just kind of ran the ball three times and kicked a field goal. Now, maybe if Samaglia misses that field goal, we look at that a little different. But Samaglia has been really good this year. I have no problem trusting him kicking a field goal at the end of the half when you're getting the ball back at halftime because it felt like Mississippi State wasn't going to score many points. So I'm okay with not putting Garantano in a position to turn the ball over and lose confidence or turn the ball over and, you know, let Mississippi State try to score before half. I thought Pruitt called a good game. Pruitt wants to be a defensive ground-and-pound type of team. And in the fourth quarter, game on the line, Tennessee went on a five-and-a-half-minute drive that ended up in a touchdown that, you know, kind of showcased what good offensive lines can do, what good, you know, balanced teams can do, which was hand the ball off, get 5 or 6 yards a pop, bust a 12, 15-yarder, and then when you have to, make a quick throw and let your receivers make a play, and Tennessee sealed that game.
Run on first and second, throw on third. As long as you get it, you can run on first and second again and throw again on third.
Yep, and you milk the clock that way, and especially, like, you know, if you're getting 4 or 5 yards, 4 or 5 yards a carry, or at least getting down to third and two, third and three, that really helps, well, you know, the passing game. You know, you can take a dump down to Tim Jordan out of the backfield and let him run for a first down. You can, again, throw a little short pass to Tyler Bird and let him make a play. Shout out to Tyler Bird, by the way. Great game from him. We've been waiting for him to make plays, and it just hasn't worked out here. That was a recruit that everyone was really excited about. Thought this guy's a stud. This guy's going to be a playmaker. Whatever side of the ball he ends up on, hasn't happened for him so far, but he made the game clinching play, and it was cool to see. I'm glad he stuck with it. I'm glad, you know, glad he's still here. Glad he didn't chase somewhere else to get a chance to play. Like, he stuck it out, and, you know, he was rewarded at least for one day with a nice touchdown catch.
Tyler Bird, nice to see that touchdown to put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that point you're still a little bit worried. I got a little bit worried when Mississippi State had closed the gap, but that shut it down. That sealed the win, and you knew they wouldn't be able to score twice.
Right.
I mean, maybe they could get one on you, but you knew they weren't going to score twice. They were awful. Our defense came to play. It was, all in all, I mean, it was a good game. I didn't like Pruitt's play calling at the end of the first half.
Okay.
I thought we should have went for it, but hey, you know, get out of there with the win. The defense was playing great, so.
Yeah, and in other situations, Cody, I would always agree and say, hey, you need points, but, like, I thought early on you could tell Mississippi State didn't have anything for Tennessee offensively.
Like, yeah, it's just that I've seen us lose games like that before.
And it could have came back and bit you, like I said.
We had 50-something seconds.
And three timeouts.
And we're across the 50. I mean, I feel like you at least try to go for it there. But, you know, Samaglia's been good.
That's a part of the conversation is, like, when they put Garantano in, they show that they don't have a lot of confidence
in
him.
Was it 9 straight runs?
Yeah.
Chaney called?
And then I believe when they finally did pass it, it was 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Jennings. Like, hey, can you maybe make a play? Now, the next throw was the deep bomb, but it was still a safe throw. It wasn't, hey, read something across the middle. It was, hey, look to the left, keep the safety off, go back to the right. You got one-on-one coverage, make a throw. And to Garantano's credit, he did. But even if that's picked off, it's a punt, right? So it was still a safe throw. Chaney, I thought, called a good game. Like, again, being conservative against other SEC teams maybe won't work. But on Saturday, it was obvious that the defense was ready to play, that Mississippi State could not block Tennessee, which was crazy. Like, Tennessee's defensive line all of a sudden was awake, and Pruitt's sending smart disguised blitzes from Bryce Thompson up the side. Like, it was a masterful defensive performance. So I was okay not being aggressive there. With that being said, if Tennessee goes 3 and out when it's 13-10 and Mississippi State gets the ball back with 6 minutes down 3, you would have had some second guessing there.
Yeah,
but,
and I was a little scared. I was afraid that was what was going to happen.
But Tennessee's players and Jim Chaney did the job. That way it doesn't get questioned. You look and say, hey, you took care of business. You put together a nice, time-consuming touchdown drive, as good teams do, and you shut the door.
Yeah, and the O-line, I mean, they started to gash him in the fourth quarter.
Shout out to Will Friend.
Shout out to the offensive line.
Will Friend is a friend to us.
Started gashing him. It was nice to see. It's nice when you run and they know you're going to run, and yet Tim Jordan gets 9 yards.
Yeah, like, you know? I mean, in the second half, in the fourth quarter, whenever you're like, hey, we're going to try to turn these clock, we're going to try to turn this clock and just get yards and first downs, it is demoralizing for a defense. We've been on the other side of that, right? Like, to just have the offensive line move you. You know, they've been leaning on you all game, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, wait, Tennessee has some big guys on the offensive line. They've actually got this defense a little worn down. And maybe the running back rotation that, you know, has been a little weird. Like, I don't know what's happened with Eric Gray, but, like, hey, the running back rotation keeping both Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan fresh. You got kind of a two-headed attack here as you are just running, and they're both fresh, and they're both rested, and they're both running pretty well, and you're able to salt that game away.
It was nice to see, and now everybody's going to start talking about, well, you know, if we just split Missouri and South Carolina, this could be a bowl team.
I don't think you have to do that voice. I mean, I think that's a legitimate conversation.
I'm just saying it's other people having the conversation, so I did a different voice because that'll be the conversation with other shows,
the
too.
The voice kind of insinuated that only nerds are saying that.
Might make it to a bowl game
that
now.
Only losers are saying that. You know, before, you know, last week.
I'm not saying they're losers.
Last week I said if Tennessee wins this game, you could start having that conversation.
I mean, that's my goal.
Tennessee won it, and I think you can have that conversation now. Like,
yeah,
it sucks
just
that
go 7-5.
I mean, it sucks. I mean, you can go 7-5. You could
go 8-4.
I don't think you're going to go 8-4, but
nah, you're not going
to
go 8-4.
You could go 7-5. Like, I don't think there's going to. And look, I'm not saying you will. I'm not even saying you'll get to 6. But I'm saying that you can feel that you have that chance. Like, besides this weekend against Alabama, who are you afraid of on the schedule?
Nobody besides South Carolina and Missouri, and that's why.
I mean, are you're afraid of South Carolina and Missouri?
No, I'm not afraid of them, but here's the way I'm looking at it. Kentucky, Vandy are so bad, you have to beat both of them.
Yeah.
You should beat both of them. You'll be better than both of them. And UAB, I don't know how their year is going, but you got to beat UAB. So that puts you at 5 wins. So if you break it down like that and you do what you're supposed to do,
right,
all you got to do is split Missouri and South Carolina.
And South Carolina's at home.
Right.
And I know they just beat Georgia on Saturday, but to me, that's more about Georgia losing their mind and making Jake Fromm throw the ball over 50 times, even though it wasn't working for him. Like, that's on them.
I am still scared of Will Muschamp.
That's fine. And look, Tennessee has not beat Will Muschamp, so I'm not going to say that you are wrong in that. I'm not scared of South Carolina, but like, I'm not like guaranteeing a win over South Carolina, if that makes sense. Like, I think Tennessee we'll go in that game maybe as 3-point underdogs, 3.5, 4-point underdogs. Depends on how this week goes. Depends on how injuries, you know, if Brian Maurer's healthy and whatnot. Like, I think Tennessee fans should expect to beat South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean,
especially at that game. I guess we should get the time on that game soon, right?
Yeah, that should happen. Will that happen today?
Don't we usually get that
on Monday? Usually. Or is it Tuesday?
No, it's usually Monday, I'm pretty sure. So, like, we should kind of get an update on what time, at least time window. Maybe we don't get the exact time, but
what time are you hoping for?
I think it'll be a night game.
That's what I want.
I think it'll be a night game. I mean, it's definitely not going to get the 3:30 action.
These noon games are all right. We've been all right in these noon games.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking maybe Florida, 4 o'clock. It might get the 4 o'clock SEC network window. I don't know.
I don't like the 4 o'clock game.
Okay.
Noon or
so
night.
You're rooting for noon?
Noon or night. I mean, night would be cool, obviously. I'd prefer night. Everybody likes a night game.
It might be cold by that time, but
I like cold.
Either way. Like, I think Tennessee should, especially if it's a night game, should have a pretty good crowd, and you'll probably see South Carolina fans travel because they're rallying behind Will Muschamp now that he beat Georgia. So, like, that will be a fun game. And I think you can look at that as a Tennessee fan and think, hey, beat South Carolina, then all of a sudden, hey, we can rally and make a bowl game, which if you told me before the year we're struggling to win 6, you know, we all would have said, no, boo, this sucks. But if you had told me after you lose to BYU and Georgia State, I would have said, oh, wow, that's a pretty good coaching job by Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. And so far, the biggest compliment I could pay Jeremy Pruitt is that the team seems to be getting better.
They haven't quit.
They haven't quit. But not also, you know, not only have they not quit, they have also gotten better.
They had a lot of opportunities to quit, too. It'd be hard not to quit after the way the season started. So.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. Good for them. It you know, it'll be a big game for South Carolina, too, though, because South Carolina,
yeah.
Here's the deal. They probably didn't think until this past week that they were going to a bowl because their schedule's so tough this year.
Right.
But now South Carolina's sitting even. They got, you know, one.
It's still going
to
be.
They got three wins now. They're going to lose to Florida. Be 3-4.
If they lose to Florida, it's still going to be tough to win a bowl. It's still going to be tough to make a bowl game for them. But the Tennessee game could help.
That would be huge for them, though, because if they come in at 3-4 and beat Tennessee, then all they got to do is beat Vandy and App State.
Yeah,
and they could very well beat A&M, although they got to go on the road. So
sure,
I mean, we'll see. But I mean, I think it's a big game for bowl eligibility. You know.
Yep.
It's big for them and big for us. Talking about bowls, how about this?
Florida, I believe, is only favored by 7.
Where are we going? Taxslayer?
This weekend.
Outback? What are we thinking?
I think people just take the Birmingham Bowl at this point.
No.
The Liberty Bowl.
No,
just like,
we travel well. We travel well.
If we get to 6, people are, you know, the fans will be fired up and ready to go support the team and, like, say, hey, good job on the season.
Is South Carolina, 4 p.m., is it?
Is that official?
I don't know.
That was my guess, was that was going to be 4.
Yes, it is. Boom. Okay. Boom. 4 o'clock.
That was my guess.
4 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you get a nice little fine. Game, a day of tailgating, and maybe get out before it gets too cold at night. I think 4 o'clock's okay. Better than noon, I think, for atmosphere-wise.
Yeah, I'll take it. It'll be dark by the time the game's over. Is that going to be after the time change? You know that's coming soon.
That's coming soon. It's always around Halloween. So I would say, yeah, by next Saturday we'll definitely have it. It might be that night, though. It might be that night, actually. We'll catch a break. We'll find out when the time change is. Talk a little bit more Vols. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric. This football season, don't let your lights get knocked out. Do the smart thing and call Lloyd's Electric Service and their LES Facility Service Division and learn about how they provide complete generator sales, service, and installation in Knoxville and the surrounding areas. At their second location up and running up in Morristown. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never been more affordable. Commercial, industrial, and residential, Lloyd's does it all. 865-692-6700 or online at LloydsElectricService.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. All right, so the South Carolina game is set for 4 o'clock. How are we feeling about that? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up from Cam and Bryce. Cody, you all right with the 4 o'clock? Thumbs up from Cody. You're allowed to use your voice if you want to.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up? Okay. Sounds good.
I mean, I'm cool with it. Yeah, that game will end at night. You know, like I said, it'll be a little cold, be getting cooler. Fall's here. You see, you got your shirt hoodie again. I broke out a jacket for the first time this morning.
Okay.
It's kind of a little chilly. A little chilly when we left the hotel.
Kind of cowardly of you, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still wearing shorts, so it was, it was chilly. It was 7 o'clock. It's cold then. It was like 40-something degrees.
I'll be interested to see what the atmosphere is like on next Saturday against South Carolina. Bryce, you were in the building on Saturday inside Neyland Stadium. On TV, it didn't look very full. Like, the upper deck looked really sparse. How was it actually in the building?
Yeah, it was pretty empty in the upper deck. I thought the lower level bowl was pretty packed, but okay. From the student section, I couldn't really tell how the rest of the stadium was, but the student section was pretty electric, I thought.
Really? Okay, because at the beginning of the game, I saw people tweeting about how the student section was fairly empty, but it filled in as the first quarter went on?
Yeah, the first quarter was definitely a little bit empty, but I looked up above me. I was in the second row, and it was pretty much completely full from what I could see, and everybody was really into the game. Once Garantano went in, things started kind of getting a little bit quiet, but yeah.
Man, I feel bad for that guy. Like he is a broken man. It feels like he comes in and you can hear the groans.
God.
Yeah, like, I mean, the people I watch games with in my chat room are all like, oh, damn it, Garantano's in, we're going to lose.
I mean, that's what kind of everybody was thinking. You
I mean,
know?
It wasn't. And I also want to say, like, it seemed like the offense kind of had that same mentality. The offense was kind of like, oh.
And also.
Man, this again, the receivers start being like, oh, man, we're not getting the ball ever again today. We're not getting the ball.
Just the luck of Maurer coming in and making these good throws, and you think you finally got your quarterback, and then all of a sudden just, you know, falls on his head.
I don't want Maurer to – I said this on Voluntary Reaction, so this is kind of a repeat, but I don't want Maurer to lose his aggressiveness when throwing the ball. Like, do I want you throwing interceptions in the end zone? No. Especially not the first one. Like, the first one, you got to make sure that you have the proper read there.
Two picks in the end zone.
The second one wasn't so much the read. It was just like, that's not something you can do in college football, right? Like, the first one, he threw in a double coverage in the end zone. That was bad.
He was going to Juwan all the way.
Yeah, right. I mean, he had made up his mind before. He was going to go to Juwan, going to give him a chance to win a jump ball. Yep. Turns out it wasn't a 50-50 jump ball. It was 2-on-1, and it wasn't even close.
Callaway was wide open over there.
The second one was, my guy's open in the back of the end zone. This is going to be easy. I'm going to float it to him. Boom, touchdown. You're playing in the SEC now. Like, you're in a different league. You're not in Ocala, Florida. You know, you're not playing against high schoolers anymore. You have to realize that these safeties have closing speed and can jump high, too. Like, I think that's one that you can look and say, that's a freshman mistake. He will grow out of that one.
Yeah, he'll have to learn all that. But, like, I'm cool with, as long as we win the game, let him learn.
Right.
You know? And if he had thrown that one earlier, that could have been a touchdown pass.
Right. He thought, hey, my arm's still strong enough. Yeah. I still got a little bit of window. You don't in the SEC. Like, he'll learn that. I'm okay with it. But like I said on Voluntary Reaction, if you do that in the fourth quarter and it costs us a game, I'll probably say, hey, bro, you got to chill out a little bit. But I will say, like, even now, if this guy's going to be the future at quarterback, or at least for the next, you know, rest of this year and the year after, and then we'll reevaluate, you gotta start taking care of yourself a little bit better when you run. Like,
yeah, he almost. I thought he was paralyzed. I just assumed, like, this is, we find our quarterback and now he's paralyzed. He's the next Stephen Hawking. I mean, that's it, completely what was going through my head. The guy flips up and lands right on his head. Broken neck. Boom. Life over.
Man, wouldn't that have been something? They had to get the stretcher out and then.
Yeah. I was ready for it. I mean, I was.
You have him come do the ceremonial coin toss next year in his
wheelchair.
Voice-powered wheelchair. Yeah.
I don't know why he would lose his voice in that situation, but.
No, he still has his voice. His voice-powered wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, that's how Stephen Hawking got around, right? I mean, he could talk. Like,
he had other things wrong, didn't he? Didn't he have, like.
Didn't he actually, like, think? I think, like, couldn't his wheelchair, like, read his mind? Wasn't there something with that? Am I making that up?
Really?
Am I making that up?
Did it just say everything he thought? Because that'd be.
Am I making
rude.
That up? Like, there was something like where his mind was controlling it. Maybe.
I love the new Bill Burr special where he talks about how negative he was.
He was kind of a jerk,
and he's like, could you not just be nice? Did everything have to be negative?
For some reason, I feel like he was thinking things, and his chair would either spell it out for him on his little keyboard, or I don't know. We'll get Cam. We'll get the research team on that.
Okay, so apparently. He was able to communicate by using a small sensor, which is activated by a muscle in his cheek.
Okay.
He would use that to type characters and numbers.
So maybe not his mind, but sort of.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't speaking. It was like reading his.
Yeah, he would type it and the computer would like read what he typed, basically.
He would type it with his cheek, though, right?
Yeah.
So like I wasn't off on that, right? Like, I get credit for that one. Was it mind control? No, but it was like, it was reading his mind and like nerves and twitches. Kind of crazy.
Garantano into the game. Ha, 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 ha. Interception. No, he played pretty well. You know, he made a couple throws. It was a good second half. He did what he had to do.
Brian Maurer needs to take care of himself, though. Like, I don't really want my quarterback spinning in the open field around defenders. Like, it was cool when Josh Dobbs did it. I don't know if I want Brian Maurer trying it. He doesn't necessarily have that same breakaway speed to pay it off with a touchdown.
But he doesn't take sacks. I like how he gets out of the pocket and at least tries to make something.
Yeah, like, I want that. Yeah. But there has to be a point where you're like, okay, I've got the first down. Boom, here comes
the
slide.
Figure out the slide.
Yeah.
Figure out the slide. He's young. He's got to learn these things.
He is. And like I said, I'm not mad about anything like that. I do think it's something he's going to have to do if he wants to survive in the SEC. Like, learn to slide. Like, get the first down, get down. Make sure you get the first down, though. Like, don't do like Garantano did against Georgia State, where you slide 2 yards short of the first down marker. Get the first down, then go down. Like, don't get flipped over on your head. That's not a good look for anybody.
Yeah. I love seeing the picks in the red zone, though, in the end zone, because the people that were with me were getting mad because he threw two picks in the end zone. I'm like, you know what? Yes, it sucks. I hate throwing picks. We give the other team the ball, but we're in the red zone. Like, if you can throw picks into the end zone, that's fine.
We've made some progress. So, that's the ultimate moral victory. Like, hey, that was a terrible interception, but hey, at least it was in the end zone and not at midfield.
Yeah, and like, you're just giving a bad offense the ball and they got to go 80 yards still.
Right.
So like, sure, we'd love to have some points, but hey, if we can get to the red zone, some of those are going to be touchdowns. So,
but
I'm,
as Tennessee
I'm cool
progresses
with it.
And gets better, like, you want to see those kind of get limited. But
yeah, of course.
I think, you know, I don't want him to get neutered. I don't want him to be afraid of making mistakes. We've seen Jarrett Garantano get neutered.
Literally?
No, figuratively. On the football field. Like, we've seen him, like, you know, you've seen it with Marcus Mariota, too. Like, before yesterday, Mariota hadn't thrown an interception because he's afraid to make mistakes. He's afraid to throw it in. He, you know, has a lot of the, you know, similarities to what Garantano does in terms of, like, hey, I've been beat up by my offensive line not being able to block, so now I'm kind of scared and I'm creating new problems for myself. But, you know, he looks scared to make mistakes. Now, he's thrown a couple more picks this year. You know, the BYU one comes to mind. But at the same time, he hasn't got the confidence to try to anticipate throws or let one rip in the end zone.
You brought up Mariota.
Yeah.
Did you see Vrabel's comment just a couple minutes ago?
No, what was it? Did he announce Tannehill as a starter?
Well, they asked him why Marcus Mariota has regressed since Vrabel arrived in Nashville. And Vrabel said...
That's a good question.
He said, I don't know. I guess I'm just not a good coach. That was his quote. It's a real quote.
All right. Self-awareness.
That's I don't know. I guess I'm just not a good coach.
That's the first step to redemption, meathead Mario. Just admit you're not a good coach. Don't get me started on that. Like, how the hell did he get the job? He was the defensive coordinator for like 1 year, and his defense was ranked 31st in the league. How did he get hired to be a head coach?
I don't know.
Which, by the way, how do you feel right now if you're one of those teams who hired a Sean McVay disciple? Seems like the league's kind of figured out that that Rams offense. How do you feel if you hired a guy who is just like randomly assigned to Sean McVay's staff? Like a was his name Taylor Zach Taylor in Cincinnati? You're staring 0-6 right in the face, and your offense looks terrible. But you're like, hey, he hung out with McVay. Speaking of Brian Maurer and his hit, Pruitt said he didn't know Maurer had a head injury until he came to the sideline. I don't know how you could. He jumps up, gets the call, etc. Pruitt then goes on to say players hit their heads all the time.
He got his bell rung.
I guess we could stop the game and check every player after every play, but I don't think we have time for that. Nothing like your old school coach talking concussions.
We don't have time to check them all out. He got his bell rung. Happens all the time.
What a dumb redneck, but it feels good after a win.
He had some nice quotes today.
It feels good after a win.
He had some good ones.
If Pruitt starts winning a little bit, maybe he'll talk a little bit more to the media and give us some content. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
Back on the program. All right, let's run through the NFL slate because we said we had some historic losses and historic performances. You gave one, the Dallas Cowboys. Man, what a brutal performance that was for them. Shout out to Sam Darnold, though. Shout out to Sam Darnold. He came back, and all of a sudden the Jets' offense looked like it had some life. All of a sudden, they could move the ball. They get their first win of the season. Man, that's going to be a brutal loss for the Cowboys, who now fall to 3-3. That's one of the big takeaways, is that they really squandered an opportunity. Now, this Week 7 game coming up next Sunday night, Eagles at Cowboys, that will be an obvious pivotal game in the NFC East. It's a borderline must-win for the Cowboys. It's a borderline must-win. After the Eagles, they go into their bye week, and then their remaining schedule isn't very forgiving for Dallas. I do think there is a high potential that they look back at the end of the year and say, man, us losing to the Jets cost us the division and cost us the playoffs. Philadelphia on Sunday night at home, bye week. Then their schedule goes at Giants, short week, play Minnesota, at Detroit, at New England, Buffalo, at Chicago, Rams, at Eagles, Washington. That's a pretty brutal schedule. They would have felt a whole lot better if they were 4-2 with a chance to go 5-2 after the Eagles rather than 3-3 with, like I said, facing kind of a must win on Sunday against the Eagles. That'll be a fun game, though. The Jets able to pull off a win and the Cowboys gag. And now it looks like things are bad in Dallas. You have another week of Jerry Jones getting asked, hey, are you going to fire Jason Garrett? Clips going viral of Jason Garrett trying to be a rah-rah coach. You guys see this, where he's coming out trying to keep his team hype and give them high fives and help boost morale, and team just kind of walks by him, doesn't pay attention, just ignores him, pays him no mind. That is not a good sign of a team that all of a sudden is 3-3. Kind of in a similar situation as the Rams, who are also 3-0, and both looking like they were the class of the NFC. They have both since gone 0-6. Yesterday, the 49ers, hey man, like if you weren't believing in them after what they did on Monday night to the Browns, they come back, short week, go to LA. Rams had a couple extra days of rest, and the 49ers defense completely shuts down Sean McVay's offense. The Rams, 0-9 on third down, 0-4 on fourth down. The first time San Francisco held a team without a third or fourth down conversion since 1988. That was a dominant performance by the 49ers, who, you know, the Rams lost two in a row, were needing that one. Now they find themselves, you know, 2.5 games back in the division, and they look like the clear third best team in that division. They look closer to Arizona than they do with the 49ers and the Seahawks.
Yeah, that was a really bad day for the Rams. They didn't have Gurley. You know, he helps their offense, obviously. But,
yeah.
But I mean, Jared Goff, just horrible. Just horrible yesterday. Brandon Cooks does nothing anymore. Even Zerline didn't even get to kick any field goals. It was a bad day for the Rams. Bad day for Sean McVay. Who's Sean McVay? Remember how special that guy was? How his offenses were just next generation?
Like I said, if I was a team that hired one of his disciples just because they knew Sean McVay, I'd be a little bit nervous right now, because it seems like the league is kind of figuring out that Rams offense. And like you said, Todd Gurley didn't play, but Cody, the bad news is, like, even when Todd Gurley plays, he ain't Todd Gurley of the first half of last year, right?
No,
like,
he hasn't been as good.
He's not that same running back, and I don't think there's any coincidence that the offense doesn't look as good anymore. They need Todd Gurley to be the best player in the NFL, which he kind of was prior to getting injured, or I guess whatever happened where he fell off the cliff. First half of last year, he was, you know, in the MVP conversation. People thought, hey, that's the best overall player. Not only can he run the ball, he can also catch out of the backfield. Turns out you can't just take a running back by committee and put them in and expect not to fall off. Turns out some guys are important, and healthy Todd Gurley was one of those guys.
The Rams had all that extra rest, too.
Didn't help.
And, you know, San Francisco coming off a short rest, a short week for them. So,
but the 49ers fans came and they took over the Coliseum. That was a lot. There was a lot of people, a lot of 49ers fans in the crowd. It was a neutral site game, and they dominate. The 49ers defense, man, like we talk all about Kyle Shanahan, right? We talk all about Kyle Shanahan and his offense. And don't get me wrong, yesterday you saw George Kittle flexing his muscles. They couldn't guard him when they had to. The running back's able to kind of churn off 5-6 yards of carry. Garoppolo played okay, threw an interception on the goal line, which, you know, kind of kept that game from being an absolute blowout. But the 49ers defense, man, last two games, 8 sacks. They've held the other quarterback to 22 of 47, 178 yards total, 3.8 yards per attempt, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. That is elite defense. 49ers, really damn good. Really good. Dominant.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know how good, though.
They just dominated your Rams. Destroyed them.
I'll have them in my MySpace top 8.
I'm going to have them still at number 2. I'm not going to put them ahead of the Patriots, although if they played right now, especially in San Francisco, in a regular season game, of course, not a playoff game, I think the 49ers would be favored, and I think they would probably win that game.
If they played?
Where? In San Francisco, regular season. I'm not saying they'd go into Foxborough and win, but, like, man, that offense is going to just move people around.
Jimmy G going to beat Belichick?
They did this yesterday without their 2 starting tackles. Like, they did this with, like, their offensive line a little banged up. Like, this was a big-time performance by them.
I still don't know if I'm buying them.
Okay, and, like, we'll see.
I'll put them close to my top 5. But, I mean, like, let's say it's playoff time. I mean, how many teams are you taking the 49ers on?
Well, that's, you know, like that's why I specified when I'm talking the Patriots. I specified, like, it would have to be a regular season game for me to feel confident they were going to beat New England.
Well,
but,
I mean, like
Kyle Shanahan's a pretty damn good coach, and this defense has a lot of first-round picks. Like, the defensive line has a lot of top 5 picks on it, and, you know, Richard Sherman was left for dead whenever Seattle got rid of him, but he's been really good in San Francisco, and he's kind of got their secondary playing really good football.
Let's say they're in the NFC Championship. Would you take them over the Saints?
Yeah. Yeah.
Take them over the Packers?
In Green Bay or in San Francisco?
I don't know. Saints in Dallas.
To me, that would matter. I mean, if it's in Dallas,
it's Dallas.
And I would just be confused.
For
say,
some reason, it's
I would
in
say,
Dallas.
What's happened? Has there been an earthquake in San Francisco? Like, is the fault line? Are we in trouble?
Yes,
like,
the Bay Bridge collapsed.
This
again.
Is bad news. Like, we should not be playing football. Let's just delay it. Come
this
on.
This time it was the Golden Gate Bridge that collapsed.
If that's the case, would you look at it like, hey, they've been uprooted because of a tragedy? Or is it like, hey, are they playing for their city? Because sometimes you can play for your city and really, you know, do something special. Think Saints in 2006 when they went to the Super Bowl.
LSU tried that in 05, and you saw what happened when Tennessee came to town.
Big Arian Foster.
That's a weird reference for
no,
me.
No, was that Arian Foster or was that Riggs?
No, that was Riggs.
Riggs
Gerald
Riggs.
Riggs.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just I don't know, man. I want to buy the 49ers, but I still – they beat down the Rams. I mean, they hammered the Rams. I just I still like Kansas City better. I know,
man,
Kansas City lost again yesterday.
We're talking about bad losses, historic losses. Did you see what happened in that game? Or were you driving? Like, did you see the stats
see
coming out
of
this game?
I didn't see a lot of that game.
I mean, the Texans in Kansas City had the ball. And, like, this is a game where the Chiefs jumped out to a 17-3 lead in the first quarter. The Texans controlled the ball for 39 minutes and 48 seconds.
That's how you keep Mahomes off the field.
That is 2/3 of the game they had the ball.
That's a lot.
The Chiefs don't have a defense that can get off the field. In Cody, the fourth quarter, you think that game stat's bad. In the fourth quarter, a.k.a. money time, and this was a situation where the Chiefs were either nursing a 1-score lead or down. You know how much? Do you know how long the Chiefs had the ball in the fourth quarter?
How many minutes of the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I don't know, 3 minutes.
1 minute and 25 seconds.
Holy hell.
Their defense can't get a stop. They had the ball for 1 minute and 25 seconds.
Yeah. I remember before the season, I was worried about their defense. What if the Raiders win that division?
I mean,
it'd
be cool.
They look kind of they look more complete. Like their defense looks like it has a pulse. And like in Kansas City right now, I'm not sure their defense has a pulse. Like they've been trying to trade for Jalen Ramsey. Maybe trade for like a linebacker, like any linebacker. Get you somebody who can stop a run. Get you a defensive lineman who can just take up space. Like the Chiefs have to do something before the trade deadline if they want to be taken as legitimate. Because right now, you say you take the Chiefs over the 49ers. Okay, maybe. But, like, I'm not taking the Chiefs number two in the AFC anymore.
Really?
I feel better about the Texans. The Texans just went to Kansas City and smacked them around.
I mean, the Texans won yesterday. That is two straight home losses for Kansas City, too.
To, like, not, like, explosive teams. I mean, well, the Texans are explosive, but the Chiefs lost to the Colts
last
week.
They didn't play bad defense against the Colts, but they were going against Jacoby Brissett.
Well, they didn't play bad defense in the sense of the final score, but it was the same thing of, like, hey, we can't stop Marlon Mack from running.
They did. Yeah, they did get gashed. That's right, they did.
Like, this final score wasn't bad, but, like, you couldn't get off the field. In that one, you couldn't score, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm worried about Kansas City. As someone who has been a big Chiefs supporter over the last year and a half, or at least, you know, talking about how good they are and how I think they're this and that, like, I'm kind of off that wagon for now.
There may never have been a more obvious year that it's the Patriots. You know what I mean?
In the AFC, at least, although, like I said, man, like, the Texans did a good job again yesterday on the offensive line. Now, their first-round pick got hurt. I didn't see his status. If he's out for a significant amount of time, that's going to be bad for them. But, like, they were able to block. Now, again, blocking the Chiefs, who don't have a pulse on the defensive line, but able to control the ground and keep Watson up healthy. And Watson went in, and he outplayed Mahomes. And, like, you don't really have any questions about the Texans' skill players, right, with Hopkins and Fuller, and, you know, Kenny Stills is the third guy, and, like,
yeah, they got some good receivers.
Carlos Hyde's running like he's back at Ohio State. Carlos Hyde looks good.
I do have an update on the right tackle.
Okay.
He will miss several weeks with an MCL injury.
Well, that sucks for them because their offensive line was already not good. So if he's out a significant amount of time, the Texans might come back down to earth a little bit. Because he got hurt. Was it in the fourth quarter he got hurt, maybe? Maybe the third quarter? It was the second half, I believe. Yeah, that's not good for them. But they're able to still put the game on ice without him, but they didn't have to pass as much on that last drive.
I don't know who the next best team is right now. Like, the Patriots are obviously – I think they're number one right now, but I don't know. I think I'd still take Seattle over the 49ers.
And I keep saying it, and like at this point, I don't want to sound like a hater, but even with the Patriots, like, I want to see them prove something against somebody that's any good. Like,
they haven't played anybody.
So I'm not going to say, like, they're the favorite, yes, but I'm not going to say it's like them versus everybody and they're the clear-cut winners because we haven't seen them play.
Yeah, the Vikings kind of coming back around.
That was a great performance from Kirk Cousins yesterday. We'll keep talking about the NFL next. Ride with us. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
Back on the program, man, we've been looking at some historic performances. Historically bad and historically futile also counts, and that's what the Atlanta Falcons have done. They are on a real streak of just strange losses while also, like, they're kind of in a bad spot of their head coach is there for their defense, and their defense is how would you describe the defense, Cam? Because I have a word in my head, but, like...
Wait, they have a defense?
Okay, I guess that does the trick. I was just going to say trash, like...
I sometimes forget there's even players out there, to be honest. But, yeah, I think they try hard, they say.
Okay.
As they claim.
Last four weeks, they have given up 75% completion percentage. 1,303 yards, which is, you know, basically 325 yards a game. 13 touchdowns. They've gotten zero interceptions, and they've given up a quarterback passer rating of 137.7. their last 4 weeks. They have forced 3 punts and have recorded 0 sacks in their last three games.
This is why we're a known soccer city.
Like, Dan Quinn has to be getting fired, like, today, right? Or, I mean, like, what are we waiting on? He is the defensive guy, and their defense is trash.
Yeah, they're kind of on watch for it today, but I honestly don't think they will fire him today. I don't think Arthur Blank really likes firing mid-season.
Well, what do you want? What do you want to do, Arthur? Do you want to, like, go 2-14? Because that seems where it's headed. Like, you just lost to the Cardinals, bro.
Yeah, and we have the Rams and Seahawks as the next two games before the bye week. So they could be headed towards a 1-7 going into the bye week. So, if you fire him, I mean, it won't hurt, I don't think, at all. Like, you do kind of see the players are playing hard, so I think they're still kind of, like, playing for the coach. But also, like, yeah, I don't think it would hurt anything.
Only 2 times in NFL history has a quarterback had a rating of 142 with a minimum of 30 passes and lost. The first one was Matt Ryan, 2018 versus New Orleans. And the second one was Matt Ryan yesterday against the Cardinals. So he is the only quarterback in NFL history to have a quarterback rating of at least 142 while throwing 30 passes and lose. He's done it twice. No other quarterback ever has had it happen once.
Man, I know it's I know that Atlanta/Georgia sports fans are, like, notorious for tough losses, having, like, it's a tough to be a fan. But has there been a worse week?
Yeah, that's the argument right now, is, like, this is, like, one of the worst weeks in Georgia sports history.
It has to be. I mean, you get shellacked by the Texans, the Braves choke away game 4, get their ass kicked game 5. You have Georgia get beat by a third-string quarterback at home. You right. have – I mean, Georgia Tech lost to Duke as yeah. well, right? You had that happen. And yep. then, yeah. I mean, I don't. It's just Atlanta sports
yeah.
still.
Those
Georgia
are the big
sports
ones,
fans.
So,
and,
yeah, pretty much.
And then you had the Falcons have a historically inept loss. Your defense can't even do good enough. Matt Ryan also made history, the first quarterback ever to complete 80% of his passes while throwing for over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Matt Ryan has still been great.
He's I think he joined, like, 2 other quarterbacks as a quarterback that's thrown for over 300 yards in the team's first 6 games or something like
yeah,
that
like
too.
He,
and just
he hasn't like his final numbers probably look a little bit better than he's actually playing. I will say, like, especially from that Titans game, I thought Matt Ryan missed some throws and did some weird things trying to run the ball. But, like, his final numbers keep looking great, and, like, he has cut out the interceptions. That's what was bothering him the first couple of weeks. Last couple weeks, that hasn't been the case, but they're still just taking L's. They have to be high on the list of most disappointing things in the NFL. Right there alongside him would be Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. They blow a 20-6 lead yesterday against the Seahawks. They had the same advantage the Rams did, right? Like, we have a long week. Or I guess that would be the opposite. They had the short week, but the Seahawks are having to travel across the country. The Browns got off to a really good start. You would think, like, hey, okay, we're up 20-6. We can run Nick Chubb. We can do just enough on offense. We can win this game. Nope. Nope. The Seahawks were back in it by halftime and ultimately won it in the fourth quarter. Baker Mayfield, 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions for the season. He blew a 20-6 lead, and when, you know, in the press conference was asked about it, talked about it, and he said, man, I'm going to blame the refs. He came out and blamed the refs after blowing a 20-6 lead. Yeah, the refs were bad today, he said, as was the quarterback, who went 22 of 37 for 249 yards and 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. He was also bad. Good news is at least they gave the ball to Odell Beckham. 6 catches, 100 yards. At least he got going a little bit. But another loss for the Browns, 2-4. Any other takeaways I missed, Cody, from yesterday?
I don't think so. You pretty much covered it all.
You were smiling during the segment. Did something? Did I say something funny? Did you find something funny?
No, it was just something I saw on the internet.
Okay.
Not that you didn't say something funny. I would think maybe you probably did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't. I mean, it would not be shocking if you did.
Okay.
I think you're a humorous guy.
Thank you.
You know, so. But, I didn't get to watch a lot of the NFL yesterday.
Yeah.
I was wasting my time going to a concert where the band didn't show up. So I did see the end of a couple of the 1 o'clock games, or part of them. I watched a little Chiefs Texans in the fourth quarter, but
Chiefs Texans was fun, and another big performance that we haven't mentioned really yet. I think you got to give credit; he's been kind of ripped apart, especially recently. The Vikings, Kirk Cousins, had a good performance on Sunday against the Eagles. Now, I will say, last 2 weeks, Kirk Cousins has been really good. He's going up against the Giants and the Eagles, both whose secondary is kind of trash. So, like, the Eagles have one of the worst, if not the worst, secondary in the NFL, especially on a competent team. And Kirk Cousins took advantage of them, threw for 300 yards, four touchdowns, got the ball to Stephon Diggs, got the ball to Adam Thielen, and the Vikings moved to 3-0 at home, 4-2 overall. And they're going to be in the playoff mix all year.
Was it the guy that plays for the Eagles that he used to play for the Vikings?
And Zach Brown.
Said Kirk Cousins was their weakest link.
He was not on Sunday.
So Kirk Cousins with a little payback on that guy. Good for him.
You'll think you could guess the top five teams from the Super Bowl odds that came out this morning?
Top five teams?
Probably.
Number one's going to be the Patriots.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd say the Saints are in there.
Yeah, the Saints will be in the top five. Are we doing it in order? Like, you want to do it in order?
Up to y'all.
I mean, the Chiefs had been hanging on at number two. I can't imagine they're still number two.
They're not number two.
Are the 49ers number two right now? Nope. No?
Seahawks, Saints, Packers, Chiefs, Patriots. Nope. Okay.
Top five, you're missing one.
I'm going to say, I kind of feel like at this point, would you put the Packers in there? No?
They are in the top five. They snuck in at number five.
Okay, I was going to say, I think the Packers with Rodgers, and, you know, keep in mind they had a good performance last week against the Cowboys, although you see the Cowboys lose to the Jets. How good was that performance?
Who am I missing if I didn't?
Who are the top five? I mean,
Second team is the Saints. Saints are sitting there at number two, followed by Kansas City.
Kansas City. New Orleans' defense has kept them afloat, man. They are 4-0 with Teddy Bridgewater starting, and you know, they beat – the only loss that the Seahawks have was the Saints going up there and beating them. So, I thought that was a fluke at the time, but turns out the Saints defense and especially Marshawn Lattimore, those guys are playing elite defense right now.
Even number four, the Niners.
Okay.
Niners are up there, top four.
Where are they at right now? Do you have the –
Plus 1,100 for the Niners right now.
That seems a little extreme, but although, I mean, I would like to wait for them to lose one before I hopped on it. But I do think they're going to be a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs when it gets when it gets crunch time and you've been worn out from a season. They're going to lean on you with that offensive line and George Kittle, and they're going to get after you rushing the passer. That's a pretty good team. And the fifth was the Packers.
Yep.
Where are the Texans? Do you have that on
the
there?
The Texans are
they sixth? I feel like they should be
10th?
Oh, wow.
Because Eagles are 6th.
Nope.
Baltimore and Seattle are tied for 7th.
Seattle, maybe. Where's Seattle at?
With Baltimore at tied for 7.
Do you have the
plus
odds
plus 1,800.
I might take a flyer on that.
And then Houston and Minnesota are plus
2,000. I would probably take a flyer, I mean, especially if you're getting 20-1. I'd take a flyer on both the Texans and the Vikings, although – the Vikings always do this to me. They look better than they actually are. Then you'll realize, oh, wait, that's Kirk Cousins. What am I doing? They just have such a complete team. But I like the Texans, and I really like the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I like the Seahawks. Right,
Baltimore's not winning the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
No.
But I like Seattle. All right, we'll play some winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. It's Monday at 2:30. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit that music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Sometimes you gotta lose. Sometimes you get to win. Winners and losers.
All right, hit me with your winners of the weekend. Who won this weekend?
All right, winners for me. Number three, I'll go with the 49ers. Good win over the Rams on short rest. Pay a little respect. I don't know if I'm fully bought in, but they are winners of the weekend. I feel like I got to respect Jimmy G and the Niners for what they're doing. Number two winner for me, Wisconsin. In college football, they shut out Michigan State. What was it, 38-0? I mean, Wisconsin just that defense is elite. Or it appears to be. They're shutting teams down. I want to see what they can do against the Ohio States, the Penn States of the world. But Wisconsin gaining a lot of respect among the college football expert people, whoever they are. Everybody's gushing over Wisconsin now. So good weekend for them. And number one, and there's something to do with like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. What's the whole deal with that, Bryce? There's something like the Upper Peninsula. Wisconsin says it should be theirs? Or what?
I haven't heard of that, but it's pretty much Wisconsin. It's more connected to Wisconsin.
That's probably why they think it should be theirs.
It's like this,
it shouldn't
the
be
weird,
anyone's,
like,
honestly. It should
be Canada, maybe?
It's pretty dissected from Canada, but yeah.
It's random land.
It's just it's random land. It's an island.
But Wisconsin has beaten three Michigan teams now, I guess.
They hammered Michigan. They hammered Michigan State and Central Michigan. Two of them shutouts.
So then they said, give us back the peninsula.
They can take it. There's not much there.
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine there's much going on there.
No, it's beautiful there, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've heard the summers in Michigan are nice.
Yeah. I'm from, like, the west side on Lake Michigan, and it's
Chicago
can't beat
side.
It.
Is this winners and losers,
yeah,
or
Chicago
is this a geography
side.
Lesson? What the hell's going on?
All right, now, my number one winner, as bad as I hate to say it, I guess I got to go with the Nationals. I mean, they get up 2-0 on the cards over the weekend, and they had the big Dodgers, dramatic win over the Dodgers, and now they're taking care of business against St. Louis, so I guess.
What the hell happened to the days when you used to just do all college? Well, what is happening here? Because you used to do winners and losers. Like, I'll just do college. You always went with, like, college games. If you just, like, moved off of college, I'm only mad because you have two of my same three.
I've evolved.
You're just a new man, huh?
I've evolved.
Okay.
Well, I looked through the whole college schedule, and I didn't see anything that really stood out. There's a couple things that stood out, but I got to go to my losers list for that. So
fair enough, I guess. I mean, yeah, I got two of the same as you do. Number three for me, the Nationals. You're up 2-0. You look like you are going to make your first World Series. Got to give them credit. They beat the Dodgers, and now they are two wins away, heading back to D.C. Another chance to really break the hearts of D.C. fans. They haven't had a lot to root for. Nationals have been known as frauds, as losers, but maybe they've cracked through. Maybe now they're winners, and maybe they're a team of destiny, but they're my third biggest winners of the weekend.
They get three in a row now, right, in D.C.? Because they got two in
St.
Louis.
Yeah, still how they do it in baseball, huh? Yeah, I was gonna say they don't do that way anymore in basketball, but I guess they still do it that way in baseball, huh?
2-3-2.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't really think about that. Yeah, okay. So I guess they got a chance to close out, just win two of the next three. Number two for me, the 49ers. It's as big a win for them as it is, you know, like getting to 5-0 is nice, but also like putting the Rams down to 3-3, you know, getting them even more angry at Jared Goff, like that contract, man. Oof. They're already talking about, like, well, here's how much money they would have to owe him if they went ahead and cut him this offseason. Here's how much dead money they would have. You're like, bro, you just gave him this deal. You can't cut him already.
Horrible contract.
Stupid. No good. Dumb. Dumb.
Asinine.
Acid 10 and acid 11.
Despicable.
Yeah. The 49ers made a statement, and like I said, they put the Rams behind the eight ball. The biggest winner for me, though, this weekend, I give it a tie. Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, both those guys, big-time performances. Both those guys, I think right now, are they number one and number two in the MVP race? I feel like they both passed Mahomes, right?
Yeah, I think Mahomes is done. I mean, he's got some chances to come back.
Yeah, no, he's got a chance to come back, but I think, like, right now he's number three, right?
I mean, he's definitely behind Russell Wilson and Deshaun. I don't know. Is there another guy in there
McCaffrey
that could be? McCaffrey.
Yeah, McCaffrey got kind of shut down this week, though. He still scored two touchdowns, but, I mean, rushing-wise, the Bucs kind of shut him down. McCaffrey's going to be there in the conversation, too, though, but I think I would still say that Mahomes is probably a little bit ahead of him. But I think right now the two front runners for MVP, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, both of them had huge road wins this weekend. Both of those balling.
Got some adversity in Kansas City now.
They do. Those are my biggest. This is the first time they've lost two games in a row at home under Andy Reid. Those are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's extreme, but they're doing a lot with their team.
On this particular day, I'd say they are.
Yeah. They're doing a lot for their team, at least. All right. Those are my biggest winners of the weekend, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. McClure, hit me with your losers.
All right. Number three loser for me, I got to go with Washington State. It's now three in a row that they have lost under Mike Leach. They are now sixth place in the Pac-12 North.
I was wondering why I hadn't seen so many people on the timeline talking about how much they wish we had Mike Leach.
Yep, not a good time to be talking about it. Jeremy Pruitt gets a win. Mike Leach takes his third straight L. And they've given up at least 38 points in all three of those losses. Now, they have lost to good teams the last 2 weeks, Utah and Arizona State, but not a good look for Leach. They're sitting at 3-3 now. He has not won a game since September 13th. But they play Colorado next, so that'll probably be a win. If not, maybe fire Mike Leach.
They're not going to fire Mike Leach, but Mike Leach is probably like, man, I really wish I could have jumped, could have parlayed this job into something better.
Maybe time to can Mike Leach. Their quarterback still throws for like 500 yards a game, though. Number two loser for me, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. They're always on the big stage. Anytime America's team gets in a state of despair, they become a huge loser. Jerry Jones looks like a loser right now. Jason Garrett looks like a loser. And all their old players are criticizing them. So you lose to the Jets. I mean, come on. You're a loser. Number one, though, I had to put them above the Cowboys. As much as I wanted to put the Cowboys at one, the Georgia Bulldogs, number one loser. You were right there. Everybody's talking about, oh, they'll beat Alabama. They're finally ready to take that next step and beat Alabama. This is the year they get it done. You lose to South Carolina with a third-string quarterback at home and get your hedges trimmed? Not a good look for the Dogs. And now we're seeing a lot about Kirby Smart just not being a good coach.
I think we should have kind of had that idea whenever he tried that fake punt in the SEC championship game.
He is aligned. There's this thing that's always a stat with the Georgia
people. He's now two games behind.
Yeah.
He's now two games behind, Rick.
Now, you could say at least he got to those games, though. You know what I mean? Because that was.
Yeah, but in 2002, Georgia would have made the playoff.
Well, and they only played an 11-game schedule.
That's what I'm saying. So, but, I mean, the 2002 was at Rick's second year. They would have been in the college football playoff as well. They finished, like, third or fourth in the country, right? Like,
but one of those losses for Kirby was a national championship game.
Sure, but I'm saying it came in as the four seed, which Mark Rick could have had that opportunity to do that this year, you know, his second year, right?
I mean, yeah,
they beat down, was it West Virginia they beat down that year?
In the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, it's like they would have had a similar chance. I mean, just different circumstances. Yeah. If you take away the playoff and just look at like, where they finished the regular season – they would have been pretty much identical exactly, right?
Pretty, yeah. The record is almost
that's what I'm saying.
Identical. It's pretty wild.
That was against a tougher SEC East, too.
But you look at the losses Georgia's had under Kirby every year. They've taken some bad ones. 2016, they lost to Vandy.
Vandy.
That was before he really got it built, but still.
Still, it was the Vandy. And then, that was at home. No, was that at Vandy? Or I don't remember.
I don't remember. Last year, blown out by LSU out of nowhere. You had everything going for you. Everything. Everybody's talking about how good you are. LSU just beat them down by like 20.
You blow a big lead to Alabama. They bench their quarterback. You have them on the ropes. You give that up. 2 years in a row, you blow fourth quarter leads to them.
There was another one 3 years ago. I don't know. Some guy tweeted out like just the despicable losses they've had.
And also Georgia Tech 3 years ago, too, in like a pretty bad game, I'm pretty sure, too.
Was it?
My loser of the weekend, number three for me, your Tennessee Titans offense. Oh, God, that was a brutal performance, and that might have been the end of Marcus Mariota's career in Nashville. That might have been it. That might have been the moment where it was all done for Marcus Mariota. 7 points. 7 points. That is not good. That is very bad. That is brutal. That is abysmal. That is stupid.
It's like Nathan Peterman level.
I would rather have Nathan Peterman.
Oh, come on.
Number two for me, the Dallas Cowboys. That's going to be a bad loss whenever you look at their upcoming schedule. They might have lost their division by losing to the Jets. Made history. They are the 1-90-1. That's not something you want to be. Number one for me, the biggest losers of the weekend. You said the Georgia Bulldogs. I'll just say the state of Georgia. Georgia sports fans, they are the biggest loser of the weekend. there can't be a state that's more depressed than they are, right? I mean, like, Tennessee might be up there if it wasn't for beating Mississippi State. Like, we at least get to feel good about the Vols. I mean, the city of Nashville is probably distraught, right? I mean, like, Titans suck. Vandy got beat by 24 to UNLV. Like, that's got to be tough to swallow. But Alabama's good, and at least the Cardinals are good, and the Preds are winning a couple games. So, all right, that's got to be tough.
Are there more Alabama fans in Nashville than Tennessee fans? Or do you think it's pretty close?
No, I'd say there's still more Tennessee fans. I'd say there's more Alabama fans than Vandy fans.
Oh, yeah.
Or close. Yeah. I don't know.
There aren't even Vandy fans, are there?
Not many.
There's a few, I guess.
Not many.
A couple dozen, but there's not many.
People that went there, and they're
all jerks, you know, because they're smart and, you know, they want, you know.
That was our winners and losers of the weekend. Last call.